JC Corcoran Podcast.
I met this girl. She's just great. This girl I just adore. The problem is, she has much more than I had bargained for. She's got that style. She's got that smile. She's got the walk. She's got the talk. She's got that zing. There's just one thing. She's got a penis. She's got that flair. Knows what to wear. She's got that face, that girlish grace. She's got pizzazz. Too bad she has a penis. Now there's always some failure, always some flaw. Ain't that what they call Murphy's Law? But male genitalia, that's where I draw the line. Besides, hers is bigger than mine. My life's a mess, 'cause under that dress, she's got a P-E-N-I-S. Yes.
Did you hear him talking about it on the radio? Did you try to read the writing on the wall? Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over again.
And here we go with the JC Corcoran Podcast for the 12th of April, 2021, here at jconthewine.com. As I asked you last week, and I hope you've been doing it, please tell everybody you know that we're here doing this every morning now. 7 o'clock every day, half hour, free stuff. And we'll be here every weekday morning from now until eternity, or until somebody comes up with a better idea. You know, this is really funny. I just thought of this. I wasn't planning on talking about this today because it just made me think of this. Back in the early 80s, you know, I got to St. Louis in 1984, all right? So right in there, when we hit it really, really big with the Morning Zoo on Keshi, people were coming down to interview me like 2-3 times a day in some cases, and I was taking all the free publicity I could get because, you know, we were trying to get the word out, and we hit it pretty big, if you'll recall. But, you know, you can never be too careful. You know, you just when you're in this business, you don't pass up opportunities for free publicity. It's just not a smart idea. So I was doing all that stuff. And frequently, people would ask me that Barbara Walters-ish type question, not the one about, you know, describe yourself as a tree. But they would say, what do you think you're going to be doing in 10 years or 20 years? And I remember giving them the answer back then. And I didn't know what the hell I was talking about, by the way. I was talking out of my ass. But I gave the answer a lot of times that what I might be doing in 10 or 20 years may not yet have been invented. And I would get these quizzical looks from the interviewers. A lot of times it was high school and college kids. And they'd sort of look at me like, sometimes they would do the interview and then we'd finish. And when we were done recording, they would come back to it and they'd say, you know, off the record, they'd say, what do you mean by that? I said, I don't know. I don't know. But, you know, things are changing so rapidly. And I had an inkling back then that there was going to be a technological explosion, if you will. And so I gave that answer. And I didn't really know what I was talking about at the time. But look, here we are. We're talking on this thing called the internet, which did not obviously exist back in 1984, 85, 86, back there in the Keshi days. And so here we are doing it. So there you go. Now, I talked way too much about the radio industry on Friday, and that makes me want to qualify this discussion we're about to have right now by saying don't think that everything that I talk about here on the new podcast is going to be about the radio industry. But this is a pretty good one, and I'll tell you why, because it's a pretty long story, but here we go. Okay, so the year is 2004. And by the way, does everybody remember that whole thing? Remember driving along Highway 40 and see billboards that said St. Louis 2004? And there would be these flyers going around and more billboards. You're like, what's going on in 2004? Obviously, it would be like 2002, 2003. And you'd see these things all over the place. And it was some agency, some advertising agency or public relations firm that just decided that 2004 was going to be this breakthrough year for St. Louis. And really what it was it employed a bunch of under or unemployed advertising and public relations people and paid out a lot of money to them. And do you remember any giant thing that happened in 2004? 2004 just sort of came and went. But boy, they had a lot of people pretty revved up for a while thinking something really, really big was coming in 2004. So anyhow, that was the year. And if you were watching the Super Bowl that year, you may have a vague recollection of something called a wardrobe malfunction. Now, as soon as this thing happened, I said to myself, why are people reporting something that didn't happen? And what I'm talking about is that to this day, it's reported as a number one wardrobe malfunction, which was bullshit all the time, but I'll get to that. But the other thing was Janet Jackson exposed her breast. Well, yes and no, she really didn't. I mean, the rules seem to be from magazines and even, you know, something like the internet and Facebook, obviously. If you're not showing a nipple, you're not showing a breast. And Janet Jackson, in fact, was something, the thing she was wearing was called a nipple shield, which is a term I hadn't even heard up until then. But it's apparently something that, I don't know, if you're going to some, you know, kick-ass party in Manhattan where everybody is giving you, you know, dragging Gucci stuff around and where the women show up at a party half naked, and that's considered style and fashion. Like, who was the R&B, the hip-hop singer who ended? Lil' Kim would go on TV with her entire breast exposed, except that it had a little thing over the nipple. You know, and she got away with it. You watch an Entertainment Tonight, and, you know, there it is, this giant hip-hop boob, except with this thing over the nipple. And by the way, I'm really enjoying doing, in essence, a radio show where I get to say nipple a lot. So anyhow, they do this. I almost said pull this thing off, but that would have been a bad choice of words, I guess. So they do their little dance, and then Justin Timberlake reaches over very methodically and grabs this thing, pulls it off, and there's this big Janet Jackson fake boob with a nipple shield over it. So is that exposing a breast? I say no. Was it, quote-unquote, over the line for a Super Bowl halftime performance? Of course. Because you got all these little kids watching, and it was just a really bad idea. Now, if you're saying, oh, yeah, it was a real bad idea, JC, I never heard of Justin Timberlake before 2004 or Janet Jackson, nor did I care, and people are still talking about it. It was 2004. This is 2021. Almost 20 years. We've been talking about this now. But when it happened, I said, wardrobe malfunction my ass. That thing was as rehearsed as the Lee Harvey Oswald prison transfer, okay? What other explanation could there be? Go ahead, just take the side of the wardrobe malfunction, the official line that they gave everybody. All right, how? How was that a wardrobe malfunction? Janet Jackson just stood there and let him reach over and grab her boob? What woman is going to be on live television and allow somebody else to just reach over and grab around the boob? So she saw exactly. I don't even know why I'm bothering talking about this. It's so full of shit. Oh, and just think about this for a minute. If it was a wardrobe malfunction, ask yourself this question. Why would she be wearing an outfit that had a Velcro patch over one of her boobs? Why would that be necessary? In case halfway through the show she thought one of them needed to come out for air? I mean, come on. Why would you have a piece of Velcro material over the top of one of your boobs? It doesn't even make sense. It's such a lie, and it's been a lie for almost 20 years, and now, finally, here it is almost 20 years later, and a stylist who worked on the show says that they wanted to one-up Britney Spears, Madonna, and Christina Aguilera, who had just made out on the Video Music Awards on MTV. The original idea, get this. Not only was it not a wardrobe malfunction, it was a completely planned and rehearsed thing. They had a different idea originally, and that was for Janet Jackson to be wearing a dress, and Justin Timberlake would step on the back of the dress, pulling it off. to reveal Janet wearing nothing but a pearl G-string underneath. But for whatever reason, they changed the plan and went with the nipple reveal instead. The stylist said, quote, I wouldn't call it a wardrobe malfunction in a million years. It was the most functioning wardrobe in history as a stylist. It did what it was intended to do, end quote. And here's the, as Paul Harvey would have said, the rest of the story. So after this happens, you know, if you're a politician, you just automatically think that this is a call. It's like somebody flashing the bat signal. Well, we have to do something about this. Somebody has to pay for this. Somebody has to be punished. We need new legislation. And then, of course, the letters come into the FCC.
I just can't believe that I saw a breast.
Don't worry. All those people are dead now. This was 2004. But a bunch of congressmen got together and said, well, we have to do something about this so that it never happens again. What can we do? And the idea they came up with, I mean, after all, this was on national TV. Millions, perhaps hundreds of millions of people watched this, and it is our responsibility to make sure that this does not go unchecked. What can we do? So you know what they came up with? They came up with the idea, which, by the way, is still in place today. They came up with legislation to fine radio stations $250,000 per incident should anything go out over the airwaves of radio that people would find objectionable. And if you're saying to yourself, hold it, wait a minute, JC, what the hell are you talking about? This happened on network TV, and so they came up with the idea of fining local radio stations? There's something wrong with that story. And the answer, of course, is there sure is. But that's exactly what they did. Because the fines were $25,000. So if you went on the radio, and we're talking over-the-air radio here, if I go on the radio and I say, my asshole hurts today, they go, oh my goodness, we got to fine him $25,000. Well, if I were to do that today on a radio station, it wouldn't be $25,000 fine. It would be $250,000 per incident. So if I said my asshole hurts today, and oh, by the way, it looks like your asshole hurts today, that's $500,000 in fines right there. You're living in America, folks. You're living in America. And now this.
And now, ferocious lightning and 60-mile-an-hour winds with KSDK meteorologist Chester Lampkin.
All right, we're in storm alert. I've been watching this hefty storm move into Metro St. Louis here, and it is putting down ferocious lightning, 60-mile-per-hour winds, ferocious lightning, 60-mile-per-hour wind gusts, possibly up to 60-mile-per-hour wind gusts, 60-mile-per-hour winds with 60-mile-per-hour winds. 60-mile-per-hour winds being reported. It is ferocious, ladies and gentlemen. Up to 60-mile-per-hour wind gusts, and this is ferocious. I haven't seen lightning like this. The possibility of 60-mile-per-hour wind gusts. The lightning is coming down at a ferocious pace. Tons of lightning and the possibility of 60-mile-per-hour winds. But 60-mile-per-hour winds and the 60-mile-per-hour wind gusts. This storm has 60-mile-per-hour winds, and we are still in storm alert here. But up to 60-mile-per-hour winds. Tons of lightning, ferocious lightning. Possibility of 60-mile-per-hour winds, putting down ferocious lightning, the possibility of 60-mile-per-hour winds. Let me get out the way and show you which areas.
Let me get out the way. Oh, man. That was like maybe an 8 or 9 minute period, and I didn't surgically alter that at all. That's what the man said. He just kept saying 60-mile-an-hour winds. Oh, my God, I'm crying here. All right. If you're feeling it today, you're not alone. A survey asked people to name their least favorite day of the week. And of course, Monday wins it in a landslide. 59% of people say that's it. Tuesday came in second place. Sunday was in third place. Why would one of your days off be listed as one of your least favorite days of the week? That makes no sense at all. The same survey also flipped the question around and asked people to name their favorite day of the week. Saturday is number one, followed by Friday, and then Sunday. So for some reason, there's a bunch of people who don't like Sunday and a bunch of people who do. Just under 6% said Monday is their favorite day. People like that start wars. Have you ever wanted to sit down to enjoy a meal with your cat, but found yourself facing a problem? They don't like human food, and you're not willing to eat cat food, of course. Well, we have an answer for you today. Sort of. The people at Purina just released the Fancy Feast Petites Feast Cookbook. The used Feast twice. Fancy Feast, Petite Feast Cookbook. It's a cookbook for humans to make yourself meals that taste like different flavors of Fancy Feast cat food. This is the point where you're like saying, JC, you're making this up. I know you're not. And this is where I say, no, honest to God, I don't make stuff up. This is for real. So now you and your cat can both enjoy things like chicken and rice. Yours will be a honey sriracha chicken with fried rice. Theirs will be a cat food that includes chicken, rice, and gravy. The cookbook has 12 recipes that you can download for free. And then when you're finished downloading that, and then when you finish eating dinner with your cat, you go out in your garage and you stuff a sock in the tailpipe, you turn the engine on, you close the door, and that's that. Speaking of food, a website called Bonus Finder is looking to pay somebody to become an MLB food tester. If they pick you, you'll go to a few Major League Baseball parks to watch games, eat hot dogs, and report on how they are. They'll pay you $500 plus. They'll cover your travel and food if you're interested. You can apply on their website. That's the MLB website before May 2nd. Oh, I'm sure you'll get in on the website because nobody else will be interested in that, right? We need the internet for things like this. But don't try to tell that to 28-year-old Seth Pendley from Wichita Falls, Texas. He was arrested last week for planning to kill the internet when he tried to buy explosives from an undercover FBI agent to blow up an Amazon data center in Virginia. In his posts on a website called MyMilitia.com, who would have guessed, he said his plan was to take down 70% of the internet by bombing the place, which isn't possible, and it's an incredibly dumb idea, and he launched a preemptive strike clarifying, quote, I'm not a dumbass, end quote. A woman in Florida, suspected of child abuse, also busted for drugs last week when the cops spotted a line of cocaine and a straw on top of her 3-year-old son's copy of Cat in the Hat. Is there nothing sacred anymore? A family in San Francisco with 2 kids is hiring 3 nannies, paying them $100,000 a year each. Guy in Minnesota pulled a gun on somebody at Domino's. One of the Domino's employees put the wrong toppings on his pizza. He did the only logical thing he thought he could do to manage the situation, which is pull out a gun. Guy in Wisconsin attacked a cook at Applebee's. You know, I could stop the story right there and it would be fine with me because if you're a cook at Applebee's, you really should be brought up on crimes against humanity. Anyhow, a guy in Wisconsin attacked a cook at Applebee's with a bicycle during an argument. When the cops got there, they found dynamite in his backpack. Make fun of my bicycle, will you? A former Instagram model charged for threatening to blow up a plane from Australia to New Zealand after they wouldn't give her a free glass of wine. And Pfizer wants to expand its access to teenagers. Matt Gaetz said, hey, ditto. Latest on COVID, you can get a free Sam Adams beer for getting vaccinated. You just have to buy a Sam Adams at a bar and send them a photo of your vaccination sticker, bandage, or card, and they'll send you $7 to cover it. A woman attacked an employee at a Dunkin' Donuts using a tip jar last week. They had asked her to put on a mask. I'm sure you could have figured that one out by yourself. More people are booking cruises, oh God, than they did before the pandemic. According to a website, cruisecompete.com. They say their bookings are 40% higher than in 2019 before all of this started. And Saoirse Ronan turns 27 today. She wants the same thing she asks for every year on her birthday, a name people can pronounce. And you know who's having a birthday today? Yep, Dave Letterman turning 74 today. Had the opportunity to interview him about a dozen times over the years, but my favorite was when they gave me a call. I'm sitting there at Channel 4. This is back in the day, and they're like, Dave would like to fly you to New York. Have you watched the show? And then interview him afterwards for television. I was like, is this a joke? Of course I'll do it. So sure enough, ticket arrived in the mail. That's when you still received tickets in the mail, you know. And I hopped the plane, and I went to the show. And afterwards, Dave does not hang around in the suit. It couldn't have been 5 minutes since they got everybody out of the audience and sent him home where Dave came around the corner of his office, and there he is wearing some sweatpants and a green and white jersey of some sort. Might have been Ball State. I don't recall. But anyhow, we sat down. It was supposed to be 10 minutes, but Dave was having a good time. We were laughing our asses off, and it went 22 minutes. Remember Morty, Robert Morton, the old producer of the show? He just kept coming in, looking in, going, oh, these guys are still talking. I want to go home. But on Dave's 74th, here's part of that interview.
Well, you know, every performer has their ups and their downs, and I'm just going to take a wild guess and say the low point in your entire show business career came around 1980. Mary Tyler Moore, variety show. They tried to make you learn how to dance.
Well, not only did they try, they made me dance. I was forced to dance. Actually, the low point is sitting here talking to you. But in 1980, you have to understand something. I had been in California for about 5 years, and nascent was how you would describe my desires and career in those days. It was just kind of showing signs of life. And I was hired for this, what was a very, at the time, prestigious opportunity, because Mary Tyler Moore was making her return to television, and it was in this hour comedy variety format, and it was right after 60 Minutes, and everybody thought, oh man, slick, start picking out property on the moon. This thing has got hit written all over it. And it was, on one hand, it was the most challenging and exhilarating summer that I spent. We worked all summer on the thing. And then on the other hand, it was the most anxiety-ridden and discouraging experience of my life, because I was asked to do things that you would think any novice in show business could do, sing and dance. And I can't sing, I can't dance, and every Wednesday we'd have to go up to the rehearsal hall, and Tony Stevens, the choreographer, odd that I would remember this man's name, because he just tortured me. It was just, we were dancing. Not only were we dancing, we had costumes, we had ridiculous costumes, and we'd be singing. You know, and Mary Tyler Moore, you know, can dance in her sleep. She has to get up and go to the bathroom in the middle of the line. She's dancing. You know, 4:30 in the morning. She's, you know, foxtrot into the John. And it was just horrifying. It was humiliating. It was degrading. And I felt badly for her. And then it turned out that the show was so pitifully received that all of our hard work, I think we ended up taping like 13 shows in a summer. And then after the first one aired, I believe they pulled the plug on it. And then it came back in a different format.
And no Dave and no dancing.
No Dave and no dancing. I had been invited back. Michael Keaton went back. I was invited back, and a couple other cast members were invited back. But I said, no, that's. I'm sorry. I can't do it. And I can remember part of the deal was in settling up my contract. I got to keep my wardrobe, and for a guy who had no clothing, this was like fine. So I did that, and I always felt badly for Mary, because she deserved better than to have to, you know, deal with louts like myself who can't really do anything except sort of stand there and, hi, where are you from? Nice to see you. Is it a business trip or is that your wife? You know, that kind of crap. So
last fall, they sent me to Indiana to do a story about Dave's old stomping grounds.
Yeah.
And I talked to your old buddy, Tom Cochran. Tell
Great
me
guy.
About the old radio
Great.
Days and tell me about Mofford Bardu.
Well, if I think for a moment, maybe that'll mean something to me. But Tom Cochran was a buddy of mine in college. And he was interested in radio and television early on, but unlike myself, he majored in history and political science. I majored in communication, and cafeteria skills, that kind of...
Well, he said you used to call in sometimes as Mofford Bardu.
Yeah.
It sounds like the dumb guy that you still do now.
Someone carried, oh, how you doing?
Right.
Yeah, that's all I could do.
Well, when we were there, too, you know, everybody spoke of your benevolence. And this may embarrass you, but you've got scholarships, you've donated broadcasting equipment, there's a playground at a children's hospital that you're responsible for. You play it all down. You've never gotten into any of that traditional photograph where you see Dave handing the oversized check to the guy and shaking his hand.
Well,
and everybody also says that that's all due to your upbringing, in particular your mom.
Well, first of all, there's two problems with this. The upbringing in my mother and so on and so forth is all well and good, and from the Midwest, and I do think that there are endemic inherent values geographically that somehow seep into your system and soul. With regard to doing that kind of thing, many people in my life have been very, very friendly and very, very helpful to me. And I always wanted to, if I was in a position, do something in some small, general way, symbolically, a gesture, repay this or return it or spread it around. And I wanted to do it in Indianapolis because I love the city and I love Indiana and I'm proud of the fact that I'm there. So now my attorney, Ron Elberger, years and years ago, he and I are having this conversation, and I say to him, I give him one proviso, one prohibition. This all must be done anonymously. Right. Like 3 weeks later, it's pictures of my mother and Ron Elberger handing over the giant check, and then a photo of me. And I said, well, you see, because I honestly believe that if you do that, if you call attention to yourself in doing that, it kind of neutralizes and makes the motive seem a bit suspicious, especially if you're in television. So I've always, I'm proud of these things. And if it weren't for Ron, I don't know that many of these could be facilitated. But I just, the fact that you now have a list of things here, while on the one hand I'm proud that you are saying these things, on the other hand I just think, well, but that's, you know, the reason to do it is so somebody benefits from it, not so, you know, I get to be on Entertainment Tonight. That subverts the whole damn thing.
And finally, what are your plans for Oscar night this year?
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go out there, and I don't know, don't let this go anywhere, but I'm going to be on stage. When they introduce Whoopi, I'm going to run out naked, honest to God. Honest to God. I said, you know, you thought it was bad last year. Well, strap in. Get yourselves a bucket of dip. We're going to hell.
And off he went, and off we go. Podcast number 3 here at jcontheline.com. Again, we ask you to tell all your friends that we are here. It's absolutely free. We post at 7 o'clock Central Time, Monday through Friday. We hope you enjoy the show. We'll be back tomorrow. For those of you who are peppering me with questions about the radio station that I most recently departed, we'll have that for you sometime this week. But in the meantime, enjoy your day. Back bright early tomorrow morning at 7. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.